You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
We love you, Jesus. Oh, how we want you.
Hello, and welcome to the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie. What a blessing it is to have you join us today as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. Our church prays regularly for you, the listener. It is our desire that God would use these broadcasts to deepen your understanding of the Scriptures and your faith in the God who inspired them. Thank you so much for investing your time today. If you have questions or concerns or a need for prayer, please text us at 772-205-6552. Today, we will listen to the seventh message in a series entitled, Driven by Eternity. We often view ourselves and what Jesus offers us incorrectly. Many have said that God condemns those who simply refuse to believe in Jesus. But the Scriptures are quite clear. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn us. We are already condemned because of our sin. John 3:36 says that the wrath of God remains on us apart from Jesus. Jesus came to save us from that by dying in our place. John 5:20 says that all who believe in Jesus, that means place their confident trust in Him, have already passed from death to life. Where do you stand with regard to the great rescue God offers you? Please consider this question as we listen to this message from Pastor Sam Chess.
And we're on the last series of this sermon. It says number seven, and everybody knows that seven is the number of completeness in the Bible. So I probably should stop every series at seven, shouldn't I? Learn a lesson here, Sam. But today I want to go purely practical. When we talk about this thing of eternity, we've looked at it so much over the last 7 weeks. And frankly, I found out things that I never, ever knew in my whole life. 41 years of preaching, and it's so neat to go in there and find. And the way we did it is we went in and pulled every passage in the Bible on eternal and eternity and everlasting and forever. 513 of them. Here's the deal that we're going to look at today. When Jesus says the most famous verse in the whole Bible, John 3:16. What is he really saying? What is he saying? God so loved the world. We spend a lot of time talking about everything in the Old Testament that leads up to it, and that's also important. That's where I learned stuff I never knew before. Thinking about the crowd standing there that day as he's preaching in John 3, listening to what he had to say, what were they thinking when they first heard this stuff about eternal life? All of that is very important, but that's not where we're going to go today. Today, I just want to ask you, what does this mean to you? What does these words say to you today? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him. Let me take you back to verse 14. We'll start there. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And then here comes 16. You're so familiar with this. Let's say this together, shall we? God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right, let me put 17 up here too, because 17 is so important. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. No, that's not his plan. He sent his son into the world in order that the world might be saved through him. So God loved us. God gave his only begotten one with him out of him son, so that everybody who believes, that's a word we've looked at a lot, everybody who pistuos, everybody who puts their complete faith in, everybody who entrusts themselves to him, if we do that, we will not, what?
Perish.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time on that last Sunday. It's not a word we often talk about. And then I gave out a whole handout on that Wednesday night that we'd never looked at before, everything I could find in the Bible on perishing. The option of human perishing for our sins is a very real option. That's why Jesus' love drove him here, so that we would not perish. Let me show you verse 36 of John 3, 35 and 36. The Father loves the Son, has placed everything in his hand. Now watch, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But there's another side to that. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. And you say, Chess, there it is. Now, that sounds a lot like a mean God. And you said last week that that mean God is not in Scripture, who wants to come after us with a club. And it sure looks like that's what it's saying there. And I'm going to say to you, no, no, no. God's wrath is not directed at us. God's wrath is directed at sin. And God didn't bring sin into this earth. His enemy, our enemy, your enemy, Satan brought sin into this world. And God's wrath is not directed at you. God's love is directed at you. That's just so very important. In fact, he offers you eternal life. He wants to exchange. I'm going to give you eternal life in exchange for the shackles of sin. That's the whole message of the New Testament. That's the gospel. God says, I'll take the guilt of sin. And in place of the guilt of sin, I will give you forgiveness. I will give you soul cleansing. That's what I want to do. In fact, this verse doesn't get enough press. I can assure you of that. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord's not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with us. He's patient. Aren't you glad? Watch, not wanting how many? Not wanting anybody to perish. That's not God's plan. But what he wants is for how many? Everyone to come to repentance. Do you ever notice that words about perishing are the expletives in our society? Hell, damn, and even the name of God himself. Do you ever ask yourself why? Why is it those words that we've chosen as cuss words or curse words? Why is that? Why not words like tree or duck, Buddha? And the others, oddly, have to do with human sexuality or bodily functions. Why is that? What's going on in the human heart that makes us mock damnation and eternal separation from God? Why would we do that? You see the battle that's going on here for the human soul. That's the message of the entire Bible, particularly the New Testament, that God will go to any length. God has already gone to any length to make sure that we do not perish for our sin. That's the whole point. Don't perish. It was the message of Jesus over and over again. So God's love brought Jesus here. Our embracing his gift leads us to not perish. And I'll say this again. Never thought of it before a couple of weeks ago, but now it's really kind of important. Whenever we look at John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Well, put a period there. Like that's the end of the whole gospel. If you accept Christ, if you believe in him, you're not going to go to hell. End of story. No. No, that's absolutely not true. In fact, the last four words are far more weighty than those are. It's not just about not perishing. The other part is what this whole seven-part series is about, and it's what's so important to all of us sitting in this room today. John 5:24, I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message, those who believe in God, who all these words are really important, believe in God who sent me, have eternal life. If that's true, they will never be condemned for their sins. They have how, when? Already passed from death to life. Let me show you this in a couple other versions, because this is just really such an important verse. Here it is in NIV. Very truly, I tell you, whoever, this is Jesus talking now, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life, will not be judged, has crossed over from death. There's the expanse, from death to life. Let me show you one more. This is a Living Bible. I don't often use it, but they nail it here. I say emphatically, anyone who listens to my message, anyone who believes in God who sent me has eternal life and will never be damned for his sins, but has already passed from death to life. Let me break this down. Very important verse of scripture. Obviously, when Jesus doubles up his beginning words, you see that a lot. Truly, truly, verily, verily. It's always him saying, listen up, this is really important. Don't miss what I'm getting ready to say. Big crowd there, probably talking. And Jesus is saying, enough, quiet down, listen. This is really, really important. Those who listen to my message. Obviously, that's more than just hearing the words that's coming out of his mouth. The Pharisees were there. They were hearing the words that were coming out of his mouth. They were not listening to his message. They were having private meetings on how in the world they could kill him and shut that voice up. And there were people listening that day with their ears, supposedly, who a few months later, their mouth would be yelling, crucify him, crucify him. They clearly weren't hearing the message. They listened, but they didn't listen. And that applies to us here today. I'll do that here in a few moments. These were people who'd witnessed miracle after miracle. They saw them all. It didn't move the needle. Somehow or another, they could watch Jesus do something so miraculous, and the needle stay in one place. Didn't budge. Or they listened, thought about what they heard, and then rejected the message. Not buying it. They were waiting on a Messiah to come. They were waiting on a Savior to come. He openly claimed, I'm him. I came. I'm the Son sent from God. And they said, no, thank you. I'll just keep waiting. And some still are, still today. Probably because Jesus included words like submit and obey. I'm the Son. You need to obey the Son. And they weren't going to submit the bondage of their heart to anybody coming saying, I'm the Son of God. So that's the first step for us all here today. And I do want to apply this. I told you I'm going to make it practical. Everybody sitting here today, everybody who listens to this on the radio, where it's headed very soon, has to sooner or later make a decision. Not making a decision is making a decision. I'm hearing the message, but am I going to listen to the message? And what Jesus is asking them is not a small deal. This is a big deal. This is kind of the heart of the gospel. Jesus replied, John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. 38, I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not my own will. 40, it is my Father's will that all who see his Son, all who believe in him, should have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day. So the first thing, number one, you got to believe, Jesus said, that I came directly from God. It's the same thing he said back in chapter 5 in a little bit different way. Believe in the God who sent me. It's not so much that he's saying you got to believe in the Father who's in heaven. He's saying you got to believe in us. You got to believe in the package. You got to believe that God sent me. We're one. We're here. I'm here, I'm him, I'm here, we're here to save the world from their sins. Number two, I am God's will in human form. All who see the Son, it's kind of like the hearing thing. You can see the Son, or you can see the Son. And Jesus says, I'm here to remove the spiritual blinders. I'm here to remove them. I'm here to make you not blind anymore, so that you can actually see me, but it's going to take action on your part, he says. Number three, I am the spiritual bread of life. Your spiritual hunger will be satisfied through me. If you don't grasp that, he was saying to them, he's saying the same thing to us. If you don't grasp that, that spiritual bread comes through me, spiritual life, spiritual sustenance comes through me, you're not going to be able to believe at all. Because you got to believe in me, he's saying. Number four, once you truly see and hear my message, now it's time to truly believe. There's that word. And the best way we came to describe that word back last year when we talked about that word is I'm all in. I'm all in. I take off my shoes. I dive in. I don't stand at the edge of the water and tickle my toe. I'm in. You can't be a halfway Christian. That's what Jesus is saying. You're either all in or you're not in at all. That's exactly what Jesus is saying here. And that brings us to number five. True belief in me, now watch the words, leads you into eternal life. And I chose those words very carefully. Once you go all in, Once you, if you in this room have believed, if you have truly gone all in, if you truly believe, then you receive eternal life. What's that? What just happened? When God gave you eternal life, if you have received, if you haven't received it, what did you not receive? If you have received it, what did you receive? What is it? And of course, that does mean living forever, everlasting life, eternally living on in heaven. We talked about that a lot because we were talking about God and his eternality and how he passes that eternality on to us. He lives outside of time, and eventually he's going to allow us to live outside of time too. If you want to know more about that, go to sermons, I don't know, like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, those ones. And you can find those on the internet. But here's the problem with that definition. This is a problem. According to Scripture, because Jesus defeated death by rising from the dead, that's the whole Easter story, everybody is going to live forever. Every human on the planet is now going to live on for all of eternity, yes? Don't be surprised, John 5:28. Indeed, the time is coming when how many? All. Okay, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, that's Jesus, and they will rise again. How, all of them, those who've done good will rise to experience eternal life. Those who've continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. Now notice this. Osama bin Laden, the evil mastermind behind our 9/11 tragedy, will live on for all of eternity. But none of us would mistakenly say that he's going to enjoy eternal life, would we? He died, as far as any of us know, a mass murderer desperately seeking to kill more innocent people. So Osama bin Laden is going to live forever too. But what's the difference between him and you? What do you have that he didn't have? What allows your eternal existence to be called eternal life when his apparently, unless something changed in his later life, didn't? What's the key here? What needs to happen? And let me show you these again, or one again. Maybe both of these I've shown you before, but watch the words really carefully. It is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. What's the connection? What brings you eternal life? And the answer is Jesus. Yeah, there's only one path here. There's only one way there. Again, 5:24 of John, I say emphatically, anyone who listens to my message, anyone who believes in God who sent me has eternal life and will never be damned for his sins, but has already passed from death to life. And there's a clue. There's a clue. In fact, everybody here sees that whole living forever thing. We can't grasp it. It's hard for us to get a hold of. I'm never going to die. Not ever, ever, ever am I going to die. There's never a period of time, a billion years from now, when I won't be alive. We talked about all that, and it's really hard to get our head around that. But there's another clue here. There's something here that's perhaps even more, it's more important to you now than that is. And that's the fact that eternal life is about something more than just living forever. It really is. Let me show you this. 5:24b, anyone who listens to my message and believes in God has, where? Already passed out of death into life. One more, 4:14. I'm staying in John here most of the time. Those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal. Clearly the bubbling spring that comes with eternal life isn't talking about something that's going to happen in heaven after you die. The bubbling spring is supposed to be something happening right now. All of these verses that I'm showing you are present tense realities. Eternal life isn't something that you're going to get after you die. Eternal life is supposed to be something that's happening right now. In fact, if you're a believer, you have already passed from death to life. Let me show you a couple more. Don't be concerned about perishable things. 6:27, again, John. Like food, spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. That's present tense. That's now. Eternal life is supposed to start now. And one more, and I'll just pause here for a second. It is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eke, present subjunctive active verb. It means it's already happening, and it's going to continue happening. That should be having right now eternal life. And the raising up at the last day is going to happen at the end, not now, but now. The eternal life is already supposed to be part of who we are. And the truth is, if it were just a future reality, and that's what most people think it is, eternal life starts after I die. If it were just a future reality, that we won't perish, but we're going to live forever in heaven. If I were to ask many Christian people, most Christian people, perhaps, not you, of course, because you're smarter than most people. If I were to say, what's going to happen forever in heaven for you? Most people would say, I don't have any idea. I don't know what heaven's going to be all about, but it's going to be wonderful. Why? Why would you want to live in heaven forever? What's going to make it wonderful? Everybody wants to go there, but nobody quite understands why. The truth is, the real answer to why you're going to want to go to heaven is in this subject of eternal life. It's here. The actual answer is here. And it sure has to be more than just escaping hell. I mean, that's kind of important. None of us want to perish. But sin was a barrier that stood between us and God. It had to be removed. Jesus removed it. It's gone. He took the barrier away. Sin is no longer blocking the pathway between you and God. So what does that entitle you to? You get eternal life. If you don't have it, it is your gift. It is being stretched out toward. What is it? When you receive eternal life, what have you just taken? What's the gift that you've just received?
We take a brief pause from the broadcast to welcome those of you just joining us. You're listening to message number 7 in a series titled Driven by Eternity. Salvation and eternal life are not found in a church or a set of doctrines or some religious practice. They come from a personal, intimate, growing relationship with Jesus. He is eternal life for now and for all eternity. If you have questions about this or a need to contact us, text us at 772-205-6552. You can also go to our website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page to send your comments, questions, and prayer requests. Now, let's return and listen together to the rest of this message by Pastor Sam Chess.
And here's the classic definition that Jesus himself gives. And let's pause here for a little. The context here is amazing because Jesus is in front of the disciples, but he's praying. He's praying to the Father. And he can't get much more potent than John 17. One or more of the disciples is scribbling furiously, trying to get the whole prayer down. And John records the whole prayer. It's in your Bible in John 17. Jesus talking directly to God, and he defines eternal life. He says exactly what eternal life is. You want eternal life? Here's what you're being offered. And it isn't just living forever after you die. Here's how Jesus defined it in a conversation with God the Father in front of the disciples. John 17:3. This is eternal life. Okay, he's ready to define. So then he starts in. That they, talking about his disciples, probably motioning toward them, that they know you, the only true God, and that they know Jesus, the Messiah, who had appointed himself, and that they know Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, whom you have sent. Here's the word, gnosko. Watch it. It's really important. That's the word there. You know, what looks like our Y is their G, that's their I. What looks like our V is their N. That's their long O sound. It looks like our W. S, that's their K, and that's a long O and an S and an I. So the root word gnosko, what? To come to know through firsthand personal experience. Jesus is praying to the Father. Here's what he's praying. Father, this is eternal life for these my followers. That they will come to know us, you, me. That they will get to know us through firsthand personal experience. They'll know us. We've already seen evidence from Jesus' mouth in the first part of John's gospel that eternal life starts before we die. We've already looked at some of that. So the eternal life that we're experiencing now is supposed to be an intimate, personal relationship with God. Personal. Come to know us through personal experience. I tell you the truth, John 5:24, those who listen to my message and believe in the God who sent me have eternal life. Now, they have already passed. Here's the difference. It's the difference between knowing about God. Lots of people do that. I know lots of stuff about God. They don't know God. There's nothing personal there. There's no personal relationship there. Lots of people know stuff about God. But if you were to peg him and ask him, but do you know him? Do you have a relationship with him? Do you commune with him? Does he talk to you? Do you talk to him? Do you have this oneness thing going on like you would have with a dear friend? And they would say, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. I just know about him. But that's not what Jesus is offering. This is what God has testified, 5:11. He's given us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. It's in him. He's offering that life to us. Whoever has the Son, whoever has this relationship, has life. Whoever does not have God's Son, if God's Son is not dwelling in us, if somehow or another the presence of Jesus is not part of who we are, then that person does not have life. Eternal life doesn't start after you die. It's part of it. But eternal life starts right now. When I confess my sins, when I embrace Jesus' sin payment on my behalf, eternal life starts then, because eternal life is a relationship with God. In fact, the whole issue of the future is secondary. I'm going to move into the future eventually. I'm going to die. We all are, unless Jesus returns first. And it's not about the ticking of a clock. It's about the relationship, a personal, new personal relationship with Jesus. That's what eternal life is, and it starts now. Let me show you, in fact, back to the first chapter of John's gospel. This is stuff we don't normally pick out, but this is what it's all about. Watch, back screen. In him, in Jesus, verse 4 and 5, was life. Over and over we're told that. And the life was the light of men. Boom! In fact, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not have the ability, your newer versions will say, to extinguish it. Jesus puts the light in us. The light begins to grow. In fact, let me put it on side screens. The life is the light. When you open the door to Jesus, your new life is in the Son. And when you believe in the Son of God as your divine sin bearer, the light comes pouring into your life. What was shrouded in darkness becomes visible, then more visible, then more visible. You're growing in your knowledge, not about God. Now you're growing in your knowledge of God. You know him through personal experience. Now you have a relationship, and that relationship begins to grow. Forming an intimate personal relationship through firsthand personal experience with the creator of the universe. Can you imagine that? Is that not stunning? I mean, we talk about it. We've talked about it not too many months back. The God who flings it all out there, the whole vast expanse of the universe, with a single sentence from his mouth, is seeking a relationship with you, inviting you into this intimate, firsthand, up close, one-on-one, experiential relationship. The God who made that is saying to you, I want to have a personal relationship with you. I want you to know me, and I want to know you. That's what it's all been about from the very beginning. That's why I made that to start with. So I could get to this place where I could have an up close personal relationship with you. We talk about it like we're talking about the clerk at Publix who called us by name and smiled when we went through the line. The clerk at Publix knows a little bit about you. The God of the universe knows everything about you. Knows your shortcomings, knows your private sins, knows every black thought in your mind. And yet he wants more than anything else for you not to perish, but to invite you into a personal, one-on-one, up-close relationship with him. 1 John 5, amazing stuff. 1 John 5:20. We know that the Son of God has come. We know, watch, that he's given us understanding so that we can know the true God. That's what he wants us to do. Now watch, now we live in fellowship with the true God. Because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, we actually have this relationship. One more thing. He, Jesus, is the only true God. That's him. They're one. He's God. And he is eternal life. We get to develop a relationship with eternal life itself. Or maybe I should say, we get to develop a relationship with eternal life himself. He doesn't just have eternal life, he is it. And he offers that eternal life to us. Do we understand that that's what makes heaven, heaven? That's what heaven is going to all be about. We often say it as a joke, but it's nonetheless true. We're going to go to heaven so we can walk those streets of gold and enter through the pearly gates. Don't we say that? And in heaven, of course, gold is just pavement. That may be a joke, but it's the reality. In fact, I think God wants us to get that point. The things that seem so valuable now, gold, pavement in heaven. Nothing of huge value. Are you going to get up every morning in heaven? Maybe we're not even going to go to sleep. I don't know, but let's just play with it. Are you going to get up every morning in heaven and say, I just can't wait to feel the icy slab of gold under my feet when I walk down the... No. The thing that will make heaven, heaven, is living forever in the direct presence of our loving Savior. That's what heaven is all about. And I can't possibly know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to take a stab at it anyway. Whatever meaningful relationship you develop with God now, whatever you have building in your life in a one-to-one relationship with Jesus right now, that will increase by a million times over when you get to heaven. Bam! Now you're in the direct, unhindered presence of God. That relationship that you're building. And I trust you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, then God is stretching his hands toward you today. But this sense of I'm God's child and I love him and he loves me and I have a relationship, that's going to just exponentially explode when you get to heaven. That's what will make heaven so exciting for all eternity. You're not going to care a hoot after the first day about a pearly gate or even a street of gold. I mean, that's my opinion. You can disagree with that all you want to. But all of that assumes, of course, that you actually have a relationship with God here before you die. Because that's the pathway to there. Because eternal life is a relationship with God. Not just living forever. Eternal life is a relationship with God, and it starts right here, right now, in this life. I'm not trying to be mean, but this is what the Bible actually teaches about eternal life. And many people in modern times assign every single person to heaven. Everybody goes, everybody gets there, regardless of whether or not you ever made any attempt to know anything about God, let alone coming to know God personally. Many of us go to funerals and everybody gets to go to heaven. But that's not what the Bible says. It's not what the Bible, in fact, and remember, he's not a bit interested in anybody perishing, but all coming to repentance. But the coming to repentance part is so very, very important. This is what God has testified, 1 John 5:11. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, period. No secondary option there. 1 John 5:20, we know that the Son of God has come. He's given us understanding so that we can know the true God. You can. If you don't today, this is what you're being offered in Scripture. We can live in fellowship with God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. You can. You can. And that was undoubtedly one of the defining characteristics of the early church. I just believe this is true. These people knew God intimately. When we get to the early church, they knew God. They weren't waiting for a relationship after they died. They already had one. And they didn't have the advantage of spreading the good news by radio or television or internet. In fact, they couldn't even get a cute bumper sticker about God to stick on the back of their camel. It just wouldn't stick. But Acts 17 says that within 30 years, they had turned the world upside down. Why? How had these people turned the world upside down? Because they had such a depth of relationship with God that it was contagious. It just spread. Christians, when they were being burned alive or when they were being fed to wild animals, were said to have been singing praises to their beloved Savior. They loved him so much. And there are historical accounts that say that Nero, the mad emperor, would stick his fingers in his ears at these events. And he would say, "Why must these Christians sing?" And they would just keep on singing. These people had a present tense relationship with God. They're dying. And even though their death is imminent in the picture behind me, they knew that all that would do would kick that relationship into high gear when they crossed the line of work. That was their pathway to a million times more relationship with God. There are historical accounts of Romans. When they witnessed the joy of these Christians being martyred, they would jump out of the stands and rush to them. And they knew they would be sealing their own death warrant when they did it. But they wanted to know this true God so much that these Christians were showing. They had to know him the way the Christians did. And that makes you think, doesn't it? Makes me think, asking myself this question. How many people would willingly die to receive the relationship they see that I have with God? How about you? Let's close this way. All praise to God, 1 Peter 1:3. This is a guy who figured out finally what a relationship with God was, Peter. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, remade, made new, old life passed, new life come. We've been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. What are you expecting? What are you expecting? We have been born again, not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life, and the life is in Jesus. Remember, the life is in Jesus. Your new life will last forever. Now, it is going to go on and on and on and on without end. But it's because of the life. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. So the question is, do you have this relationship with God? Not something I can manufacture, not something I can do for you. Some of you will say, 3 years ago, I had no idea what a relationship with God was, but now I do. Others of you are in this room and you would say, man, 20 years ago, I was just out there stumbling around, blind eyes, that darkness that you talked about, and then the light came, and I'm just not the person I used to be. But some, perhaps sitting in this room, would say, I have no idea what you're talking about, Jeff. I don't know. So do this for me. Bow your heads, please. And this is not about me. This is not about the people around you. This is about you and God. This is about whether or not you have a relationship with him. The relationship part is not something you have to manufacture. It's not something you have to come up with. It's something he already did for you. He already paid your sin debt. He already did. It's done. He's already offering us this eternal life. That's the whole point of the gospel. That's the whole point of the New Testament, that he came, he died, he paid your sin debt, and then he offers you forgiveness, cleansing, and eternal life. And if you're sitting here today, and that is not a reality in your life, don't leave that way, please. This is eternal stuff we're talking about. What starts at salvation lasts forever into eternity. But the question then comes down to, have you come to him and said, God, I really have sinned, and I am sorry. I'm truly sorry. I do believe that you paid my sin debt, I believe you died on a cross and then you rose defeating death, but you did that so you could offer me forgiveness, cleansing, and eternal life. And I'm saying today, I agree that I'm a sinner and that I need saving. I need a savior. And you're him. I see that. You're him. It's what you claim to be. It's who you are. I believe. I believe. I'm all in. I'm not partway in. I'm not standing on the periphery. I'm in. Today, I'm in. I'm in. And what Chess is saying up there is so critical. I don't just want from this day on to know about you. I want from this day on to experience what those verses said is true. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to have a relationship, a personal. I want to come to know you through personal experience. I want to know you. And I believe that today, that relationship can begin. If that's you, I'm going to pray a prayer here. I want you to be sure. I want you to be sure of your relationship with God. But here's the prayer that you so need to pray if you don't know him. Not about him. We all know about him. Satan knows about him. Osama bin Laden probably knew something about him. That's not the point. It's, do you know him? Dear God, I have sinned. And I am truly sorry. Today, I'm making a U-turn. I'm repenting. I'm turning from going one direction and I'm turning to go the other. This is the day, right here, that I'm turning from walking away from you and I'm turning to walk towards you today. I believe that you paid my sin debt. I believe that you rose from the dead, offering me eternal life. I accept that gift right here today. I embrace that with every fiber of my being. And I invite you into my life as my Savior, as my Lord, and as my friend. I want so much to have a relationship with God. May it start right now, like nothing I've ever experienced before, and then continue on into all of eternity. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for listening today. Please join our pastors now for a roundtable discussion and further insight on the message. With us are Sam Chess, Senior Pastor, Ian Croshaw, Pastor of Congregational Care, Mitchell McGar, Pastor of Student Ministries, Kevin Pierce, Pastor of Outreach and Evangelism.
We've been discussing the fact of life is eternal and it begins when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. I remember in my own life years ago, and this was back in 1958, and I had gone to a Bible camp, and before that I was really wondering why I was going, and that weekend I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I realized that I hadn't become a Christian, and that night I went forward and accepted Christ as my Savior, and then I thought, well, hey, I'll be able to tell my mother this when I get home the next day. I walked into our house and my mother said to me, Ian, something has changed in your life. And I hadn't said a word, but she had already evidenced the fact that my life had gone out to show her that I loved Jesus. And I was really worried about that. And then when I came to the place of knowing what to do in my life, it happened to be in our own house, and all the choir members of the church were around at our house having a song time after church. And the choir director turned to me and said, Ian, I think you could sing a song for us. And I thought, what? He says, I've heard you sing sometime. And so I started singing a song. My mother was so surprised because she was in the kitchen. She came out and wondered who was singing, and she found out that it was her son. And that was the life that I began. I began to pursue a singing career, and it's led me to all these parts of the world, and God has been gracious. It is a life that is eternal in the fact that it's a personal life, but the fact is it's begun here, and the rest of it, when I get to eternity, I'll experience the rest of life itself.
What stood out to me in this message is the importance and the priority of putting Jesus first, at the forefront. Jesus is at the center of it all. And I love how our Lord Jesus makes it very clear that when we love God with all our heart, mind, body, soul, strength, all of that, and we love others as ourselves, we have fulfilled the commandments. All the other commandments hinge on those two commandments. And I love how Pastor Sam ended his sermon about this, making us think about the historical accounts of the Romans, witnessing the joy of Christians being martyred, jumping out of the stands and rushing to them. We don't tend to think of joy and death in the same sentence, but there's a joyful obedience and a joyful surrender that comes with following Jesus. And today's surrender is tomorrow's victory. I love that. We are victorious in Christ. And they were sealing their own death warrants, but they just wanted to know God. And then Pastor Sam said, how many people would willingly die to receive the relationship that they see? So how many of us really count this life as nothing, as rubbish, compared to the riches that Christ has for each and every single one of us? But this life isn't meant to be worthless. It isn't worthless. Only when focused on eternal things, when we're focused on God and His principles and His standards and loving others and serving others and caring for one another, praying for one another, honoring one another, all the one another's in Scripture. When we find ourselves doing that, that is kingdom-minded stuff. That is what God has put us on this earth to do, to live countercultural lives to the glory of God and to the good of others. And I pray that that would be what each one of us do.
One of the things I've been mulling through this series is that when God made us, when God made man, He didn't put him in heaven with Himself. He put him here on earth in a temporal life. When God worked through people, He did it here. When God came to redeem us, He came here. And then when He does redeem us, He doesn't take us there. He leaves us here and He walks out life here. So this eternal life is critical to the way that we live here and now in the temporal. And I like what Pastor Mitchell was talking about. He mentioned the fact that all the law and the commandments are hinging on love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's not about precepts. That's about relationship. That's about intimacy. When the Romans jumped out of the stands, they didn't rush to some belief system. They rushed to the Christians. And so this idea that it's about people, it's about persons. I remember when I became a believer, I didn't just become a believer and say a prayer and say, Jesus, please take me to heaven when I die. My prayer was, dear Lord Jesus, my life is a mess. It's not what you want. I surrender to you. Please enter my life and fix what I've broken. I didn't mention heaven to Jesus when I became a Christian. I talked about now, here, the difference that He could make. And I can remember falling in love with Him, being transformed wholly and completely, yielding, not having a desire for drugs, not wanting the things that I used to want. And I can remember diving into the Word, not looking for precepts, but wanting to know Jesus better, wanting to live life according to what He loved and He desired. And I actually discovered my calling by simply saying yes anytime something that Jesus may want cropped up, I said yes. I figured out what I could do well and could not do well. And eventually God called me and I grew into a calling. I can remember sitting one time and I just read in James where it said, visit the widows and orphans in their affliction and keep yourself unstained from the world. And I cried out and I said, Jesus, would you please give me a widow or an orphan for whom I can care? And the next Sunday, I'm sitting at church and an announcement comes through that there was this family who'd been in a horrific accident. The father had died and left a widow and an orphan. And the mother was there in church with us appealing for help. And I walked up and I said, what do you want me to do? What can I do? And she said, will you come to my house this afternoon and bring your bathing suit? Mind you, I'm 24 years old. I'm less than a year out of a horrible life of immorality and sin. By that afternoon, I'm standing in the swimming pool holding a quadriplegic girl horribly damaged by an accident while her mother does physical therapy. I'm not blowing my own horn. I'm talking to you about the difference that Jesus made. I went for 8 months pouring eternal life into the life of this family. Not because I'm great, but because I said, Jesus, I want to do what you do. I want to love what you love. I want you to use me to make a difference in the here and now. Eternal life begins when we surrender not to a set of precepts, but to the person of Jesus.
So what Pastor Kevin and Pastor Ian are talking about is the difference between knowing God or just knowing about God. And I've been pastoring a long time. Lots and lots and lots of people know about God. Obviously, Satan himself knows about God. But there is a whole different ballgame when one comes to truly know God. And that's the definition Jesus himself, right from his mouth, gave. This is eternal life, that they may know you. Remember, that's gnosko, come to know through firsthand personal experience, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So the whole idea of eternal life is not just about living after we die. It's getting to know him. Truly know him in an intimate personal relationship right here, right now. And I was struck again when we just went through this 1 John 5 passage. We know that the Son of God has come. He's given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And then this, now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. And then this added, he is the only true God. Jesus is the only true God, and he is eternal life. So coming into relationship with Jesus brings us into eternal life right here, right now. But the second thing that struck me as we went back through this message is that whatever meaningful relationship we develop now, in this one-on-one, coming to know, intimate personal relationship right now, the very next thing that happens is when we die, we transfer into eternity. But eternity isn't, heaven is not going to be about those streets of gold like we talked about. Heaven is going to be about enhancing this personal relationship with God by a million times. That's what's going to make heaven so exciting, because we're now going to have a relationship with God now that turns into an intense, everlasting, never-ending, personal, intimate relationship with the God of heaven, unhindered by sin, unhindered by the curse. That's what we're all heading toward. That's what we start now. That's what we end with. That's the blessing of the gospel.
It is our prayer that God has blessed you as you listen today. We want to invite you to visit with us on Sunday mornings. Join us for coffee and fellowship at 9 a.m., followed by Bible study classes for all ages at 9:30. Our worship service begins at 10:40 a.m. We also have a children's program that takes place during the worship service called Disciple Town. It's a fun and engaging time of worship and learning for your children ages 4 years old through fifth grade. We also offer nursery care for your younger ones during the Bible classes and the worship service. Our church campus is located at 707 Kitterman Road in North Port St. Lucie, just about a quarter mile west off of US 1. Each week, there's a full schedule of blessing and activity for you and your family here at Grace Emmanuel. Please contact us or visit our website to learn about what is offered here. We believe that God wants to do an amazing work in your life as you come to realize more about the eternity that He has placed in your heart. If you have a need or questions about something you heard today, please text us at 772-205-6552. Or you can go online to graceemmanuel.com. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. May the risen Savior grant you grace and power and joy for your week. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Hi, this is Jane with Grace Emmanuel Church. Our radio programs are produced and recorded well in advance of their airtime. Due to the COVID-19 virus, we are not holding normal weekly services as previously mentioned in our program. We are, however, streaming a condensed version of our Sunday worship service live every Sunday morning at 10:40 a.m. and our Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. To view our services, log on to graceemmanuel.com. Scroll down and click the link for our YouTube channel. Our prayer is that this trial will not last long, that everyone continues to fully put their trust in God, and that soon we can all attend our respective worship services once again, the way God intended it to be.